We have our sister Vicki Reimel, who had a wonderful transformation here recently, and it was just exciting to all of us. And I don't even know if Vicki knew who the real Vicki was. We found out who the real Vicki was, and I tell you what, folks, I'm assured that what Vicki found out was the problem is a problem that a lot of people out there listening to me right now have, and it is hindering you from being all that you can be, you know, kind of like the Marines, you know, being all that you can be for the Lord. And I tell you, some people just don't know the real them, and sometimes their mate has never known the real them, I guarantee you. And anyway, we want to welcome Vicki Reimel. Thank you for being with us, Vicki.
Thank you for having me tonight, Brother David.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We're so happy to see what God's done for you, this miracle that God has done for you. And we just know that your testimony is going to help an awful lot of people out there. And so we're just going to turn it over to you, and Paul can jump in there anytime he wants with you. And maybe myself and Michael, we might ask questions later or make comments later, and we'll just see where the Lord takes us. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, first of all, I would just like to pray, Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for this time. Father, I pray that there will be, through my words that you speak, Father, that you will be glorified and your Son Jesus will be glorified. Father, I pray that people that have been bruised, hurt, and damaged in their life, that this will be an encouragement to them, Father God, and that they will search their hearts, Father. And I just pray that you will be setting people free, Father God, like you've set me free. In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like to start off, brothers and sisters, by saying that this has been a very long journey. It didn't just start 5 months ago. The ending of this journey started 5 months ago, but the beginning of it started many, many, many years ago. And I would just share just briefly a little bit about a book that I've read for once a year for 20 years that's called Hind Feet on High Places. And I have identified with that book, obviously, because God showed me after all of this was over one morning how he paralleled all of this with that journey that this little woman in this book named Much Afraid was taking with the shepherd, which represented Jesus, to the high places to receive her hind feet. And I have to say that that's something that I've wanted for a long, long time. And God, through all that has happened, I truly believe he's brought me to that place. He set me free. And as Brother David was saying, I discovered who Vicki is because I discovered who she is in Christ Jesus, and that's the most important thing. All the other things in my life in the past is just all past, and we know how the Word of God warns us about looking back, so I won't be looking back. I'll only be stretching forward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus from this moment on. I thought I had been doing that, but I discovered that there was a lot of things in the past that hindered me. So with that, I will just begin with 5 months ago when my husband Paul and I moved to Tennessee to be with the local UBM body. Some things started happening to me almost immediately, and the way that everything started was with really, really, really torturous headaches that in the beginning I thought were migraine headaches, although I've had migraine headaches before, and they were never like this. This was excruciating pain that I endured for many, many days, many, many nights, and I would be healed, and it would last a short period of time, and then it would start all over again, and I would be healed, start over again, over again. this went on for the last 5 months. I had 7 episodes of this, these headaches that caused me to be bedridden for days and days on end. But praise God, through the trial and the very last one that happened just recently, which tomorrow will be 2 weeks ago that this last trial began. In hindsight, I'm so thankful. But at the time, it was really, I have to just really, really stress that I was not scared at all, because I knew that God was doing something, and because I had been standing and holding fast to my confessions of healing, I was ready for this to be over. So on Thursday, January 26th, on the evening of the Thursday night conference call, Paul was ministering and teaching on deliverance. Paul and Michael were teaching on deliverance. And Paul was reading out of Luke 4, and he read verse 18. And when he read the end of verse 18, a word just really hit me. And verse 18, the words say, "Set to liberty them that were bruised." And the word "bruised" just really hit me at that moment. And I started thinking about the word "bruised." And I started realizing how bruised I had been over my entire life. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how bruised so many people are. They're bruised and they're wounded and they're hurt by things that other people do to them, say to them, how they treat them. And at that moment, I was sitting here and I was just looking up at the wall, and the Father opened a vision for me to see our Jesus hanging on the cross. And I could see Jesus hanging there, and he was so bruised that he was almost unrecognizable. And I was thinking about that as I was looking at Jesus on the cross, of how bruised some of us are, and we get so bruised by people that sometimes we're unrecognizable to ourselves and obviously to other people as well.
Yeah, Vicki, you know, I like to kind of interject myself, a situation, you know. Okay, one thing I like to interject, you know, when Vicki had that vision of Jesus being on the cross, it reminded me also when I saw the Lord gave me an open vision of Jesus on the cross myself many years ago, and he was unrecognizable. And just to bring in some significance, you know, of what she saw and what I saw, because basically I saw the same thing, because he was very unrecognizable. And I'd like to go over here to Isaiah chapter 53. And, you know, we all know this, but it's just amazing what the Lord Jesus did for us. And that's what Vicki was actually experiencing, you know, seeing. And it's interesting that she's, you know, recognized the bruises, you know. And so that's where the Lord wanted her to, her focal point to be at, you know, because he was bruised for our iniquity, you know, but he was also wounded for our transgression.
Yeah.
And over here in Isaiah 53, this is what the Lord did for us, because he, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him shall be saved. And it says, it starts out in 53:1, it says, "Who hath believed our message, and whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their face, He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken or smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And Vicki was sharing with Jesus spoke, you know, in the synagogue on Luke 4:18 and 19. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are what? Bruised."
Bruised.
Wow. And the chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. And I'll stop there, but it had an impact on what Jesus has done for us, for his people. And he went to the cross so we can go to our spiritual cross. And so as Vicki saw that vision, God started ministering to her, you know, and bringing a conviction into her heart. And it was a powerful thing, because she was coming to the end of her trial. And I just want to just share that, you know, she was really reaching out for the Lord and asking the Lord, because she said this quite a few times, you know, to me, you know, "I'm asking the Lord, what is there anything that I've done? Is there anything that I've done, you know?" And like she was sharing, see, it went on for about 4 months, but I didn't really catch wind of it. Maybe about 2.5 months into, about a month into it, because she was really believing the Lord. Now, she was experiencing headaches and all that, but it wasn't to the extent that it did later on, you know. So I realized that she was just acting her faith just like anybody would be doing, acting their faith and believing the Lord. And so it started coming into play where, you know, she asked for the elders to come and pray for her. Well, that happened just to be... I called David up, and Darv and David came over, and they, and myself, and we prayed for her, you know, and she got up. And then it happened, you know, I'm not exactly knowing exact days and all that, but let's just say a week and a half, the same thing. She would be healed for like a few days, and then it hit her again. And then a few days later, you know, it hit her again, and she'd get healed again. And one time when Brother David came over, me and David prayed for her, and she said, "I need to get out of bed." And she just jumped right out of bed, and she was healed for a few days. But God was doing something with Vicki. And that's the thing about Jesus revealing himself on the cross, being on the cross to her, because what he did for all of us, you know. And he was bruised. I mean, and he was wounded and bruised for our transgressions and our iniquities, the sin nature, you know. And we were all filthy rags when we came to the Lord, and no man came to the Lord except the Father drew us to his Son. And that's a powerful thing that happened right there. So the Lord was really ministering to my wife on that Thursday night, and because something was about to happen, which I'm going to let her share, and it was an awesome thing what God was doing, because God was bringing to a head of things that God wanted to show her, because Job didn't realize that he had some things when he went through his trial, and he was ignorant of some things, and well, he obviously has some self-righteousness, and the Lord revealed that thing that was in his heart, because God wanted him to be perfect, because he already called him perfect before he had the trial. And the thing that the Lord did with me prior to that is with another brother in the local assembly here in Tennessee, the Lord gave a brother who was asking the Lord to give him a word, you know. So he just flipped open his Bible and just, you know, went through the pages and just didn't look at it and put his hand down on Micah 4:6 and 4:7. And I'll read it. It says, "In the day, saith the Lord, will I assemble that which is lame, and I will gather that which is driven away, and that which I have afflicted." Well, who did the afflicting? God did. and I will make that which was lame a remnant. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then the next morning, you know, that was on a Friday night. The next morning, I did the same thing because I always get up early in the morning anyway. And I said, well, Lord, give me a word. And so I did the same thing that brother did and flipped through the pages. I turned my face away and just stuck my finger in there. And I came on Micah 7, 7, 8, and 9. But actually, I really went to 7, 9. But the Lord just kind of encouraged me to read above that. But I went, I shall behold his righteousness. Wow. I thought that was pretty cool. And then Micah 7, 7 says, but as for me, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. What a confession right there. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. And who's our enemy? Not people, but the demonic forces out there. When I fall, I shall rise. What a confession. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my case and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light. What a promise right there. And I shall behold his righteousness. And so we're up, we're talking about, you know, Thursday night, God showing Vicky some things and giving her a vision of Jesus on the cross. And it was very significant that he did that because he was about to do something and preparing her and doing a change in her heart. Because sometimes, you know, the Lord Jesus said we don't always know what's in our heart. And a lot of times people can forgive people with their head, but not really from the heart. I've been taking people through deliverance, you know, for many years. And a lot of times I have seen some that didn't get delivered because they harbored things in their heart, unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment towards people. And they thought they were okay by doing that, but they were being tormented day and night. And these headaches that Vicky actually was experiencing was what? She was being tormented. And God was bringing something to surface, you know, so that she can get things right, because that's what it's all about, these fiery trials that we go through. And it's ordained by God so that we can get things right, so we can get things right before we go into tribulations. Wouldn't it be better if we get things right with God before we go into tribulation? I mean, praise God for that. And so go ahead, Vicky. I just really felt by the Lord to maybe interject that, you know, because I thought that was really significant that you saw Jesus on the cross.
Yes, I believe so too. Thank you. When I was looking at Jesus, I could see the bruises, and it was as though I could see the bruises of everyone that he was hanging on the cross for all of us. And so it was just a very powerful thing. I was just in awe of what was going on and seeing what our Jesus did for us. And he loved us so much. It just was like such a powerful thing that happened to see how much he loved us. The evening ended, and naturally we went to bed, and that next morning at 3 o'clock in the morning is when a really, really, really heavy trial started. I woke Paul up. My body was numb. And I woke Paul up and I told him that I was really, what was going on. And so we started praying. We started a spiritual warfare, praying and singing, praising the Lord. And we did this coming against all of the symptoms that were happening to me. And we don't know how long it went on because we both fell asleep. But at 6 o'clock in the morning on that Friday morning, I woke Paul up again, and this was really a serious, very serious time. And my body was going numb. My left side was numb, down the left side of my body to my legs. Both legs went numb. I could feel this tingling going on and a numbness and a heaviness happening. But the thing now, when I look back on it, the thing that really struck me the most when this was going on was that there was this tingling and heaviness that was around my heart. It felt like my heart was in a cement block with this tingling going around it, and I tried to move over, but I couldn't move my left shoulder. I was paralyzed, and I was thinking, wow, this is really serious, and God is really getting my attention. As time went on, and this just continued on and on, the numbness, the heaviness in my legs, I couldn't move my legs. They were paralyzed. My left side was paralyzed. And we had been praying and coming against all of this, doing everything that we knew to do, and standing, believing, holding fast, because I knew that I had been healed. I saw my Jesus hanging on the cross to heal me. So I told Paul, I said, would you call Brother David? And Paul called Brother David, and Brother David asked me if I wanted him to come over, and I was just thinking, oh, Brother David is just so busy all the time, and he needs rest. But I said, yes, I do want you to come over, and he came immediately, as he always does. And something obviously had been happening to me between the time that we called and the time that he came, because I started thinking about Stephen in the book of Acts. And I was also thinking about the vision that I'd had of Jesus on the cross, and what Jesus said is just so powerful. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I was just thinking about that, and I was thinking all the bruises of all the people, the bruises of my life, the bruises of your life, the pains and the hurts that have been inflicted by other people. Right then, at that moment, laying paralyzed in my bed, I realized that these people that had wounded me in my life, that had inflicted pain on me, that had caused me to be bound up and wrapped up in the fear of man for over 60 years, because I will be 63 years old in just a few months, kept me from accomplishing a lot of things that I would have liked to have accomplished in my life because I was so fearful of man. And I realized that these people had done these things to me and to many, many other people, and they didn't even realize that they were doing it. And I was thinking, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But I was thinking also how powerful it was what Stephen said. He was there with people. He was going to be stoned to death. And he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I thought, wow, how powerful is that? Jesus was standing. And Stephen said, Father, forgive, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. So that was the things I was thinking about. And when Brother David got there, I asked them to pull me up so I could sit up in bed. And I just wanted to know, because I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to say the right things. I didn't want to use anything out of context or use these prayers things that we can use as prayer in the wrong way. So I was asking Brother David about that. Would it be okay to pray that prayer? And he said, yes, that's a very powerful prayer to pray. And at that moment, I was realizing that there was one particular person in my life that had inflicted a lot of pain. And I was realizing at that moment that because I knew this person very intimately, and I knew his family, I knew his background, I knew his father, I knew what his father had done to him over the years when he was a child. And I realized that he was inflicting pain on others because he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't even realize it. Because as my Paul says, when he's ministering to people and we're taking people through deliverance, that we have to realize that hurting people hurt people, and that's what he did through his life. He hurt many people, not just me. But I was realizing at that moment that I was coming to a place where I could truly from my heart begin to forgive people. And I knew, because when I was asking about this, the man that I'm speaking of was my ex-husband. We were married for 28 years, so it wasn't just a short period of time that this pain was inflicted. And I realized at that moment that I was thinking about him, and I was really, really, really wanting to forgive him. And for the first time in many, many years, I thought about him, and I didn't have this feeling of anger come up. I didn't have this burning thing come up inside of me that wanted to say and do things to him to hurt him. And I realized that I wanted to say, Father, forgive him, for he knew not what he did to me. And I also wanted to say, Father, lay not this sin to his charge. Because I truly wanted to, I truly would love to see him set free from all of this the way that I've been being set free. And then I realized what this cement, heart tingling, numbness, and my heart felt like cement. For all of these years, I had had a heart of stone, a stony heart, as the Bible talks about. And the night before, when I saw Jesus on the cross, I was realizing that God was bringing me to this point, and it had to be through these trials and tribulations, through this refining fire, through the pain and the torment, to get to the depths of what this was all about. And what this was all about was that I had a heart of unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. And at that moment, God was reaching down in and pulling out the root of bitterness, unforgiveness, and resentment, and setting me free from that to the point where he was liberating me.
Yeah, well, I'd like to interject something, Vicki. Just to go back a little bit, when Vicki called David Eales, he's on his way there. Now, all the other times when we pray for Vicki, I just want to bring this up to speed so people can understand the severity of this, because it was this didn't look too good in the natural. But she was always able to get out of bed, even though she needed some help. But this time, I couldn't get her out of bed. She was just basically paralyzed, and, you know, a lot of weight there, you know, because when you're kind of a little bit weak, you're stiff and all that, all the weight was on her body, you know, where there's nothing I could do. And so she asked me if doesn't mean that she wasn't dressed, because she had clothes on, but she asked me to put some pajamas on, but to, you know, cover herself up a little bit better, you know. And so that was the first time that I had to put clothes on her. And I was realizing how serious this really was, you know. And but in my own heart, I was prepared, you know, whatever it took, even if I had to raise her from the dead, she was going to be raised from the dead, you know. And but anyway, when Brother David got over there, you know, when Vicki mentioned something about Stephen, well, me knowing the scriptures a little bit and some things from times past, I thought she was wanting to give up the ghost, you know. And so that's where I went on that situation, you know. And I looked at Brother David, he looked back at me, but he didn't know where I was going, you know, until Vicki started actually, you know, sharing about Stephen. And then I realized it was a heart thing, that that God was dealing with her heart, and that she was wanting to lay not no charge, no sin to their charge and all that. And So then me and Brother David, you know, she wanted to get up. And, before she got out of the bed, we actually set her up. And I don't think she shared this yet, but she started, you know, confessing her fault. Basically, she was praying for them, interceding for them, and praying that that the Lord wouldn't lay that sin to their charge, all the things that, you know, how she was damaged through them and all that. So do you want to go ahead and pick up from here, Vicki?
Yes. I just wanted to back up just a little bit and share that there came a moment in time when I realized the severity of this, that what was happening to me is that I was having a stroke. I was paralyzed, and my voice was even, I could just barely speak, and I spoke like how when someone has had a stroke. And so this was a very serious thing that was going on. And I could see that when I was talking about Stephen in the book of Acts, that Paul was crying. And I could use my right arm, so I reached over and I got a hold of his shirt and I pulled him to me and I said, "Honey, I am not going anywhere." And I said, "This too shall pass." So I didn't want him to be fearful that I was, because of some things that Paul and I won't be sharing at this time, but there might be another time that we will share some other testimonies. And I told him that this too shall pass. I had no thoughts of dying. I wasn't wanting to die, but I can say truthfully that I had no fear whatsoever of dying if I had of. So I believe that this is just really to share about unforgiveness. And I believe a lot of us don't realize that we have unforgiveness in our heart. And as I have said before, this just came to my remembrance, is that I had forgiven my ex-husband many years ago, but I realized at this time that the forgiveness was not really a real forgiveness from my heart. It had come from my head. And it was a very, very, very shallow forgiveness, because as I was speaking about earlier, every time that someone would say his name or I would think about him, I would just, this thing would rise up in me that was really ugly. And I was just really, if he had been in my presence, I don't know what I would have said. But anyway, I was realizing at that time when we were going through all this that morning that God was doing something for me, that I had been singing a song for probably a month every morning. And it was, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I had to go through a lot in order to get to this point, because God had to get my attention. And also, another thing that I would like to share. This is a prayer that I had been praying that God brought to my remembrance of. And I had been praying this because, as Paul was sharing with you, I had been crying out to the Lord during this time of so much pain. And like I was being tortured, my skull during these headaches were like it was being crushed. It was so painful. And I was just saying, "What am I doing wrong? What have I done? Father, whatever it is, just show me, please. I will do anything that you ask, because I want to be pleasing in your sight all the time. I want to be a vessel of honor. I don't want to be a vessel of dishonor, Father. And I want everything that I do to be pleasing in your sight." And God reminded me that a little later, after all of this happened, that I had been praying Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. I said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So here I was singing, "Create in me a new heart, a clean heart, rather." And then I was also asking for him to search my heart. And that's what God was doing. And he loves us so much that he does these things for us. And even though it was painful, it was worth it. Because he pulled all of that wickedness out of me and all of that ugliness out of me that I didn't even realize I had. And he poured in love and joy. And the love and joy is just overflowing. It's more powerful, than more wonderful, and more glorious than anything I can even express. And brothers and sisters, I just pray that this will help you perhaps to understand some of the things that you might be going through. And I would ask the Lord to search your hearts as well. The coming out from this on the victorious side has just been an awesome thing, because I have been filled to overflowing with God and the Word of God. And I realized also at one point, I might to share this, that these headaches were so agonizing, and afterwards I realized that God was renewing, a right, restoring my mind, and just cleaning up my mind and my thoughts, and he took all of that world stuff out of my mind, and he put the Word of God flowing out of my mind and my mouth. And I realized that, when I didn't ever realize that I really knew a whole lot about the Word of God, that he had all of these years, even in the things I had been going through, had been writing the Word of God on my heart, and now it just flows out constantly. I can't seem to get enough of it, and I can't seem to give enough of it to others. So I pray that this has helped you all in some way, and I thank you for the time to share this testimony. I don't think I've left much out, but praise God.
I'll tell you
God.
What, before you get off, Vicki, there is still just a little bit more that you need to really share about how. But one thing I would like to add, and I guess being in ministry for many years, you know, you see a lot, and you recognize things, you know, and we really have a Heavenly Father that really loves you. And see, because I wasn't raised by my natural father, given up for adoption and all that to a stepdad that, well, bless his heart, you know, he never knew who his parents was. So we were really in a messed up world today, you know, and everybody's, you know, has a testimony to give how the Lord has done something in their heart. But what I like to stress is we have a Father who loves us with an everlasting love, and he cares about us. He knows what it takes to get things right in our heart. And I'd say about midways, you know, through the trial with Vicki, the Lord gave me a word of wisdom to give to her. And I told her, now, what I say may not comfort some people, but I told her this was an enduring trial that you're going through. And you're going to come out victorious. And that's basically what I said to her. But even though in the natural it didn't look so victorious, you know, because there was times through this trial, especially with the headaches, the pain in her head, you know, was so crucial that she'd wake me up sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, and just say, I don't know if I can handle this no more. So it wasn't a very light affliction. It was a pretty heavy trial that she went through. But if she ever wanted to go to a doctor or whatever, you know, it was according to her faith be done to her. And I said that to her, you know, I said, hey, you know, it's according to your faith be done to you. We don't get into legalism. We don't get into all that kind of stuff. But listen to this. You know, God loves us so much that he knows how to bring a correction. Over here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, it says, my son, regard not lightly the Lord's chastening, nor faint when reproved of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and scorches. So it's going to hurt every son whom he receiveth. It is for chastening that you endure. God dealeth with you as with sons. And so that's what God was doing with Vicki. He was dealing with her as a daughter, you know. And wanting to bring a correction in her life. He set the stage. She didn't set the stage. He set the stage. And over here in verse 1, it says, I'm not going to read everything. It says, let us lay aside every weight and easily besetting sin, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith. I believe when she saw that, what Jesus went through, was a revelation in her heart, and God was preparing her. Even though she was about to go through some heavier stuff that she wasn't aware of, God was in control, because he is the author and perfecter of her faith, who for the joy set before him, talking about Jesus, endured a cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right of the throne of God. For consider him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that you weary not, fainting in your soul. So he's encouraging us, you know, the race that's before us, not to be weary in well doing, but to stay focused no matter what, you know. Even if you're on your deathbed, I know of a story that our brother shared. I know of another story of the same thing, basically, from another brother that was shared. He actually thought it was the same person, but obviously it wasn't. But I remember a guy, you know, a story about a guy. This guy knew him personally. He was on his deathbed, and he just, right before, I guess he slipped in eternity, before he did that, he just put his hand up one more time, very, very slowly, and with his finger, he said, "I'm still believing, Lord." And when he did that, the power of God went through his finger, down into his arm, down into his body, and God raised him up right there, you know. So, Vicki, why don't you go ahead and tell how, when you got out of the bed, and, you know, what you going to the, you know, the bedroom door and all that, and you know, go ahead and pick up from there.
When I realized that this was the unforgiveness thing, and I had asked Brother David what I did about Stephen praying what Stephen had said, I was wanting to get up out of bed. And at that time, though, after I had done that, Paul and Brother David anointed me with oil, and they prayed. And after they prayed for me, I said that I wanted to get out of bed. And so they helped me to get up, and I was able to stand up, and I began to walk a little bit. They had to help me, one be on each side. My right leg was working fairly properly, but the left leg was basically still paralyzed. And so I would walk with my right leg and dragging my left leg. And we made it from the bed to the bedroom door, and I had to stop there because I realized how to look down, and I could see that my left foot was turned sideways and it didn't want to move very easily. And God has done a few little visual things for me through all of this that's helped me to share what was actually going on. And my left foot was turned sideways, and as I was dragging it, and when we went onto the hardwood floor, it was dragging. And the way that I describe this is like if you had a great big giant eraser in your hand and you're erasing paper, and you go off of the paper onto the tabletop, and it just kind of goes bump, 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 bump across there. And that's what my foot was doing. It was just kind of bumping across the floor. So I stopped, and I was looking down at my foot, wondering, you know, how am I going to get this foot turned? But to make a long story short, I eventually got this foot turned around, and I began walking again and dragging my foot. And we got into the kitchen area that heads from our kitchen down a hallway to the front door. And at that moment, and I know that Paul and Brother David, neither one knew about this, but I could feel what was happening to me, and I could feel the change in my body. And at that moment, there was an anointing, is the only word I can think of, that came down on me, and it just covered my body. It was like my body was being wrapped in a very warm blanket, and I was just wrapped. And while I was wrapped in that, I could begin to feel my body change, and I knew that I was going to be walking. And the way I describe that is, we've seen a movie many years ago called Forrest Gump, and I'm sure that a lot of you have seen that movie. At that moment, the feeling that I had was like this one scene in the movie where kids were chasing Forrest, and his friends were yelling, "Run, Forrest, run, run, Forrest, run." And as he was running, he just started running faster, and the braces that were on his legs began to just come off. And he just began running and running and running, and he just ran for years. Well, I was feeling my legs being healed, and it was like braces were flying off of my legs, and I was hearing in my mind, "Run, Vicki, run, run, Vicki, run." Well, I didn't run, but I started walking. and I started walking toward the front door, and I started walking normally. And as I was walking, my voice started changing as well, where I wasn't talking like someone that had had a stroke. I still had a little bit of speech problem after all of this for a short period of time, but everything began to, that my body began to be healed, and I felt it. I could feel it. I could feel all of it. I could feel what God was doing, and it was just such a miracle, and it was is something that is I'm not able to describe. But at that moment, I was healed, and my life began changing at that moment. Was there anything else I'm leaving out, honey? Because I'm
well, you know, like when you came to the door, you know, we stopped, and I didn't look down at your legs or anything like that, so I didn't realize that you were actually dragging one of your left leg, because I was on the left side of you, and but it was turned to the left, you know, and we kind of picked you up a little bit, you know, not up off the ground or anything, but just where get your foot back into. But we started going around this island that we have in our kitchen, you know, real slow. And I don't know, I just remember, you know, when we were walking around, just making a statement, because it brought me into remembrance of a situation that I experienced many years ago. And me and another guy were helping this lady get out of the wheelchair. And I just remember, you know, we got her to stand up. And the son moves, that was behind him, he was bawling. I mean, he just was crying, you know. But he moved the wheelchair out of the way, you know, after she stood up. And so me and this other guy kind of helped her a little bit, you know, walking real little steps like Vicky was doing, you know. And it just reminded me of that. And then after a period of time, after we started walking with her, she just told us to let go. And she started walking, and then she started walking fast, you know, and then. Well, obviously the Lord raised her up, and it was when we went right back around one more time. It was, of course, we didn't know that she was filling this blanket at the time, and so obviously what was happening, God was bringing this healing. The anointing was healing her through the anointing, the power of God, and so she just said, "I can walk on my own now," you know. So she just kind of we let go, and she just started walking around. I don't know how many times, because I wasn't counting or anything like that. But and so we started talking and all that. But also, you have to see it on my end too, because I started seeing a transformation in my wife, you know. And it was just amazing, you know. All of a sudden, she started just like the Word of God started coming alive in her heart. And I know Michael's going to jump in here sooner or later, because he's probably chomping at the bit. But she just started just like this, all of a sudden the scriptures just started coming alive with her, you know. And we'd go to bed, you know, at nighttime at 2 o'clock in the morning, she'd be waking me up and talking about how she went back to, you know, remembering, you know, Noah building the ark and all that, you know, how much it really meant, you know, and then just sharing things about her heart, you know, and how God has shown her things, you know, about what she just went through and all that. And she was still at that moment, still talking kind of funny a little bit, you know. And when we talk, we won't just talk for like 10 or 15 minutes, two hours later, you know. And so Michael can, you know, and some others can experience, you know, they know what I'm talking about, you know. But it was all new. It was exciting, you know, just to hear her talk. And even when I'm up here working, because I work out of my house, you know, and she'll come up here and just, you know, come inside the door and just sit down and just start talking about, hey, I just want to share this with you, what the Lord's showing me. I want to share this. I want to share that, you know. And it's just been really a transformation, even like a renewing of the mind taking place, you know. And it's just really been a blessing. And some from the local assembly have called her up, you know, and talked for two or three hours later. They're getting off the phone, you know, and she's just sharing her testimony of what God's done. And it's just been really a refreshing time. The people on the conference calls are just got ignited by it, you know, and it's just one thing after another. Did you want to share anything, Michael?
I do.
Okay, David, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, what I noticed about Vicky was the old Vicky that we knew was very bound up.
Yeah.
You know, I would say rejection was there. I would say introversion was there. a fear of man was there. These were all tormentors. And mm-hmm. because God was asking something of Vicky that she didn't want to face. And it took this to make her face it and decide that she wanted what God wanted. You know, the Lord said in Matthew 18 about the king who forgave his servant because he besought him, but that servant went out and wouldn't forgive his fellow servant. I'll just read the last few verses of it, of that.
Mm-hmm.
It says in verse 32, Matthew 18 and 32, then his Lord called him unto him and said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besoughtest me. Meaning, to us, this would mean a lifetime of sin against God. He forgave us, you know. All that debt because thou besoughtest me, shouldest not thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy upon thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due. Until he should pay all that was due. What is that? Paying for your own sins. Paying a penalty for your own sins, which, of course, the Lord took upon himself. Right? And verse 35 says, so shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not every one his brother from the heart.
Mm.
Well, this is what the Lord wanted from Vicky. Vicky did not want to face in her mind her past thoughts, her past, none of these things. But the Lord wanted her to face that and forgive from the heart. He wasn't interested in just the mind. He was interested in the heart. He wanted her to forgive from the heart. And the penalty, of course, is that these tormentors cause a person to pay a penalty for their own sins because they have mm-hmm. not forgiven someone else's sins. And I believe there are many people out there that you may be going through something miserable from the tormentors in order to bring you to the place that you will face this and get honest with the Lord and face mm-hmm. that you want to forgive this person or these people from the heart. Listen to what Elihu, who was the fourth man in the book of Job, who was the man that actually spoke correctly concerning Job, and God did not correct this man at all. He corrected the other three friends. But Elihu spoke the truth. Listen to what he said in Job 36 and verse 7 on down. I'm going to read it to you. It says, he withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings upon the throne, he setteth them forever, and they are exalted. So God is doing a work on the righteous because they are the kings on this earth. We have authority and dominion. And verse 8 says, and if they be bound in fetters and be taken in the cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions, that they have behaved themselves proudly. He openeth also their ear to instruction, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. And if they hearken and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity, and their years in pleasures. Now I'm seeing in Vicky, a new Vicky here, she's no longer this bound up person. She's very joyful. She's skipping around. She's full of joy. She addresses everybody. She loves to talk to people, whereas before she was introverted and didn't want to do that and was fearful and all these things. This is a whole different person. And what's gone is the tormentors are gone.
Amen.
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 And he goes on to say, listen to this. Now, this is talking about this second part. Is talking about the wicked, because the wicked can go through the exact same thing, but they won't repent. Listen, but if they hearken not, they shall perish by the sword. In other words, The wicked will die and pass from the scene in the midst of their misery. Listen, and they shall die without knowledge of what they needed to do, what God wanted of them, so on and so forth. He said, but they that are godless in heart lay up anger. They cry not for help when he bindeth them. They die in youth, and their life perisheth among the unclean. Now watch. He's going to go back and tell you what the reaction of the righteous is when they go through the same situation. He delivereth the afflicted by their affliction. He delivereth the afflicted by their affliction. They're understanding that they're paying a cost for offending God, for not forgiving from the heart, okay? And he openeth their ear in oppression. He openeth their ear in oppression. Yea, he would have allured thee out of distress into a broad place where there is no straightness, and that which is set on thy table would be full of fatness. So you can see that he brings everybody to pay some penalties for their sins. Mm-hmm. The righteous will consider things that they don't like to consider because they're painful for them to even think about. But in the midst of misery, you go to God, like Vicki said, and you say, God, what is it? Where am I offending you? What do I need to do? Please help me to understand. I want to be free, you know?
Yes.
And Vicki, because she is a righteous person, she did cry out to God, and God heard her, and he delivered her. We find ourselves powerless to dig these things up out of inside, but if we just cry out to God, God will help us. If you cry out to God, he will help you. And I'm going to read you another verse here, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope in your latter end. And you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. With all of your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn again your captivity. And I will gather you from the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again to the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So the Lord turns us over to tormentors. They carry us away captive. We cry out to the Lord in our misery, and because that's what it's all about, folks. It's a chastening to bring you to the point where you will consider, God, I'll do what you say. God, tell me what's wrong. Let me understand. Please deliver me. You know, and God, of course, does that. Now, you say, well, some people say, well, I don't know how we could pay for a penalty for our sins. Well, I'll just tell you this in Matthew chapter 5, just very quickly. He said, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way, lest haply the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the last farthing. So you can pay the penalty for your own sins. That's what Matthew 18 is talking about, is somebody that is going to have to pay the penalty because Christ won't pay the penalty. Why won't Christ pay the penalty? Well, because in Matthew chapter 6, let me just read this to you very quickly, very quickly. In chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And he says, forgive from the heart. He doesn't just want a mental assent. He wants you to forgive from the heart. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, what does it mean to not have your trespasses forgiven? Well, let me share this with you. It means you have no entitlement to the benefits of God. Mark 11 and 24, it says, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. But there's a condition. Notice he said, anything you pray for, believe it, and you'll receive it. But there's a condition. Verse 25, and whensoever you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. In order to get these blessings from God, you have to have, or anything from God, you have to be forgiven. Okay? And we're told, you know, in Matthew 9 and 6, I'm going to read that to you real quick. Matthew 9 and 6. You must be forgiven in order to be guaranteed these benefits. And Jesus said in Matthew 9 and 6, he said, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise and take up thy bed and go into thy house. And of course he did. So the Lord has authority to forgive sins, and it's proven by the benefits given to you. If you're not receiving the benefits of God, if you're not receiving the deliverance of God, if you're not receiving the healing of God, if somebody prays over you and they have to come around a week later and pray over you again, and then later again, and then later again, find out what the cause is. You're just dealing with the effect. Find out what the cause is. And I can tell you what a lot of the cause is from my experience over the years is people do not forgive from the heart. And I've asked many people this, have you forgiven everybody? Because when I pray for somebody, I want to know that they've forgiven. And a lot of times they say yes, and I got a feeling the real true answer is no. And if it's not from the heart, it's not what God wants. God wants to deal with your heart, not just with your head. You know, you can give mental assent to forgiveness because you know it's the right thing to do and you know what people expect it from you. And so you just tell them, yes, I do. I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive the dirty rats, you know. but you're not meaning it from your heart, you know, and your emotions give it away and your eyes give it away and your thoughts give it away. And these things that you do give it away that you haven't forgiven this person from the heart. Okay. And I just want to say one more thing about this, is that this is different from, this is personal forgiveness. God demands it from every one of us in order to have the benefits of the kingdom of God and to have forgiveness, which in which you don't have the kingdom of God if you don't have forgiveness, folks. There is a type of forgiveness called governmental forgiveness. It's also in Matthew 18 that is not included in this. And it says, if thy brother sin, go and show him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he hear thee not, take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuse to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he refuse to hear the church, then let him be unto thee as a Gentile and a publican. And he didn't say forgive him. This is governmental forgiveness. This is for the sake of the church. This is so a little leaven doesn't leaven the whole lump. This is how you deal with the sinners who are in willful disobedience, okay? Personal forgiveness, remember, we owe that to everybody all of the time. If we don't give it to them, then we have to pay for our debts. But governmental forgiveness, I mean, Jesus told his disciples in John 20 and 22, he said, or 23, he said, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And they turned people over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh because they weren't forgiven because of what they were doing to God's body, okay? And so there isn't always governmental forgiveness because a person won't repent, but there's always personal forgiveness because that is something we have to do individually. We have to do. And anybody else want to share something?
Well, one of the things I like to, do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. One of the things I'd like to share, just like what you just said, brother, and she did confess that every time we, you know, you all came over and prayed for her, and she was crying out to the Lord, and that's a key right there, because she was crying out to the Lord, even around me too, and she was crying out to the Lord, what is this, Lord? What's going on? You know, have I sinned? Have I done this? Have I done that? She said she was repenting from, you know, all of her past and all that, but God was dealing with something, you know, with some unforgiveness, you know, and some other things too, just like David Dales was talking about. And but just as once it got down to that root cause, praise God, because God set it all up. That's, I mean, it's just like, you know, sitting back on my side and just watching a movie and seeing how the Lord did all this, you know, to bring her to a place to really, truly repent from her heart and to get things right and truly forgive. You know, and that's just amazing to me what happened, because I'm experiencing the transformation in my wife. I mean, she's singing in the house all the time. She's rejoicing and she's talking with people and just having a wonderful time, just sharing what the Lord has done in her life. And but she really did it from the heart, and that's the key right there. It wasn't a head knowledge anymore. It was a heart thing that she did. So. I just praise God for that. Amen.
Well, amen. And everybody in our assembly, you know, recognizes the big, big difference in Vicky. You know, we praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Can y'all hear me?
Praise God.
Yes, we hear you, Michael. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Just learning how to use this headset, so bear with me. The change that came over Vicky was so dramatic to me. And, of course, everybody else that's in UBM Fellowship that knows Vicky. She called me, I don't even remember what night it was, but it was soon after that. And, no, I actually called over there for Paul, and Vicky answered, and an hour and a half later I got to talk with Paul. Because, I'll tell you why, because of the joy that came forth from her was just so exciting to me. She wanted to talk about the love of God and what God had done in her life, and she just went on and on and on. And I'm up, and I'm praising God with her, and tears are flying down my face, you know, and I'm just so happy for her. Well, the joy that she had was coming off of her onto me, and here I am, you know, praising God for her. And for me, too, because it's just an infectious thing that God had done for her. I don't know, Vicky, if Audrey had told you, but she had a vision of you before you were healed, that you were laying in bed, and then you sat up, and then you got up and walking, and then you started running through the house praising God for your healing. Almost, you know, I believe it was Audrey that had that vision.
It was Audrey. Yeah.
You know, we made a circle around that bar in the middle of the kitchen there, and Vicky said she was feeling a little weak. She wanted to go to bed. So we started walking her over there, and then she said, I better not do that. So we turned around, and we went around that bar another time. By the time we went around the third time, we just turned her loose. You know, she was going.
Amen. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I remember doing that. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
It's true. It's true. Vicky was stubborn in her faith. She was not going to turn loose. She held too fast to her faith, and she heard from God, and he spoke to her, just like we read there in Job. And he showed her what he demanded of her, and she was willing to give it, you know, and praise be to God. The tormentors had to go. And it's true with anybody out there, you folks. The tormentors can be tormenting you in any kind of way you can imagine. They can be breaking things around you. They can be breaking your body. They can be tormenting you so that you can't have any fellowship with other people. You can always be at war with others. You can be critical. You can be judgmental. You can be factious. You can be slanderous. You can be divisive. You can be all these things. What are all these symptoms of somebody who has not forgiven from the heart. You know, yeah, there's people say, oh, I forgive them. Yes, I love them. But then all these manifestations of unforgiveness come out of them. What hypocrisy, you know? So you see, this is what God wants. He wants an effectual forgiveness from the heart that changes your actions, not just a mental assent to a religious doctrine. You know, he wants actions in your life that prove you have forgiven a person from the heart. When their name comes to mind, do you shrivel up? I mean, do you have problems when their name comes to your mind, or their face comes to your mind, or something that they've done comes to your mind? Hey, listen, I think Vicki has overcome that. You know, she wants nothing for her first husband but the blessings of God, you know? And that's great and awesome and victorious, you know? And, of course, it's given her, the proof is, of course, the tormentors left. Oh, praise
Amen.
God. And they'd
praise
been around for a long, long time, and they left.
Wow, praise God.
One of the things, too, you know, like you just said, Brother David, because, you know, she's talked about Al a few times. That's her ex-husband, and there's such a love there for him, you know, to see him get healed, because she recognizes now that he was damaged, and he's just a product of his sin nature. And matter of fact, when they were going to Set Free Ministries out there in California, or Calvary Church, I can't remember which one it was. You can correct me on that, Vicki. But he was seeking deliverance. But because there's such a shallowness out there that it never came. So he kept falling back into all the stuff that he was involved in. But I sense more of a love, you know, coming out of her heart towards her ex-husband, you know, and it's really a blessing to see that, because, you know, the Lord is pretty honest with us. He said, you know, we have to forgive or he won't forgive us, but it has to come from the heart. 'Cause even over here in, Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice, you know, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave us. So praise God, you know. So, you know, God is doing a supernatural work in Vicki, and we're seeing the I get to really experience her rejoicing, you know, in the house. And, hey, I want to share something else with you, you know. And she's singing all the time, you know. She has a little bit of an opera sound when she sings. And she's already talking about maybe getting with one of the brothers, you know.
Honey.
Who plays the guitar, you know, to back up her sing. I said, honey, you don't need a guitar, you know. I mean, it's just our house is being filled with joy, you know. That's what I'm trying to explain, you know. And I'm up here working, you know, hearing her just singing and having a wonderful time down there, you know. And so praise God. It's just a blessing seeing the transformation in her life. And that's what the Lord wants out of all of us, you know. Even myself, you know, I examined myself with an individual down there in Birmingham, you know. And I was walking out there taking a dog for a walk, and just like David Hill said, when I see his email, there was something to rise up in me, you know. And I was down there talking to the Lord and really truly repenting from my heart and said, you know, Lord, I don't want this in my heart. And that was just a few days ago, and I said, I don't want this this in my heart, you know. And this bitterness towards this guy, you know, and what he's doing and all that. And so I just praise God. He did. He took it out of my heart. It was a little battle there, but I recognized it, and I wanted to deal with it, because we ain't got much time, and we need to really press in by faith and want to be healed. And one of the things that David was talking about, the root cause, you know, getting down to the root cause. And, you know, the Lord has been using me in deliverance ministry, like I said, for many years. But it hasn't always been all the time, but all of a sudden, you know, lately, you know, there's been a lot that have been wanting to deliver. And that's what we do. We go down to the root cause. It saves a lot of time, a lot of their time, a lot of God's time, a lot of my time, just getting through the root causes, David. And and Vicki and Michael. It's just been amazing, and the letters that are being poured in, you know, to Vicki or through Robin to us, it's just amazing how many people are just being liberated, you know, just getting down to the root cause and dealing with some things and getting things right with the Father, and it's just been really a blessing. Amen.
We have to be willing to face things that we would rather just turn our mind away from because they're painful to us, you know. But, you know, through misery, we sometimes are willing to pay the price to talk to God to do whatever He wants done. And, of course, we should be that way before God all the time. Personally, it's better. People have lived with tormentors for many, many years in many forms. These tormentors are just the demons. What do demons do to you? It can be almost anything, folks. Anything that has to do with the curse. You know, Deuteronomy 28, anything that has to do with the curse. The demons are the ones who implement the curse. Read Deuteronomy 28. Read Galatians 3 and 13. Jesus bore the curse. But if you're not forgiven, He didn't bear the curse. You're bearing it. Okay? So if you're bearing it, guess what? You have yet to be able to see the reconciliation come to pass. Who are we? We are ministers of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? The exchange of what Jesus did on the cross for the way our life is before. You see, the Lord wants to exchange His life for your life. You got to repent. You got to forgive, or you don't get any of those benefits, like Mark 11 and 24 and 25. 25 is the condition. You got to forgive so that you can have all of these benefits. He said all things whatsoever, for goodness sake. He's not promising you anything if you don't forgive. And if you do give it to somebody, like we were giving it to Vicki, if you can give it to Vicki, she can't keep it. If the cause is not dealt with, she will not be able to keep it. How many of you out there have been prayed for over and over and over for some curse, and you just can't keep it? Or you've been prayed for and nothing happens, and you just can't get it, because sometimes that happens too. Sometimes God turns people over. It's like they were desiring flesh in the wilderness. Give us flesh to eat. And God was angry. He wanted to give them manna from heaven, and they wanted flesh. He said, okay, you want flesh? I'll give you flesh. I'll give you flesh till it comes out your nose, till you're so sick of it that you're willing to do something, you see? Here's the point, folks. I mean, many of you have been so sick of going through flesh, partaking of nothing but flesh. Are you willing to say to God, God, I'm going to forgive so-and-so. I do it from the heart. I do it by faith. Lord, take this out of my heart. I want to love them so much that I never have a critical thought or a critical word or a judgmental word or a unforgiving word or a root of bitterness or any of these things that come from unforgiveness. How many things come from unforgiveness? Oh, a whole lot. And a lot of curses are falling upon people because they will not forgive from the heart. They religiously say, oh, yes, I forgive them. I forgive them. And yes, I love them. Okay. But it's not from the heart. God wants to deal with your heart. He's into changing hearts, not just minds, hearts. Okay. If you know it's right, then He wants your heart to change and your actions to change. You know, faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. The Lord wants your actions to agree with what you say you've done. And he wants your actions to agree that you have no root of bitterness, that you forgive this person, that you're not critical of them, that you're not constantly judging them, that you're not doing it. He wants that out of your life. You're going to live under the curse unless you get that out of your life. Okay? I believe that I have seen that people with a problem with rejection, for instance, have been easy prey to this faction thing. And they're delivered over to it to make them sick of it. to make them sick of constantly hating and criticizing and figuring out a way to get at so-and-so, you know? He's saying, okay, you want flesh? I'll give you flesh. But all this time, the curse is multiplying on these people's lives, in their families, and that causing division in their families, causing criticism and arguments among them. All this judgment is coming upon them because they don't even know what forgiveness is. They claim that they are forgiven, and they don't even know what it is. They don't understand it at all. And they say, I love so-and-so, and it's just totally phony baloney. You know, it's not the truth because their actions prove that they're liars, that they're hypocrites. So, folks, if you're going under some kind of curse, it don't matter what it is, and you have had people that have faith pray over you, and nothing happens, then you stop dealing with the effect and start dealing with the cause. What is it? Cry out to God. What is it, Lord, that is in my way? What is it that is causing me to not be entitled to your benefits? It could be unforgiveness towards someone. It seems to be the most common thing that blocks people from receiving their benefits from the kingdom is an unforgiveness in them. You know, I've often said that sins come in threes. They come in a thought, like unforgiveness. They come in an emotion, like anger. And they come in an action, like wrath. You know, start figuring the emotion and the action, and you'll figure out what's wrong with your thoughts, right? If you don't forgive someone in your thoughts, if you don't forgive them from your heart, then it's going to cause how many things? Think of all the things that come from unforgiveness. And any one of those can stop you from receiving the benefits of the kingdom. You know, a root of bitterness. Esau was a son of Abraham, but he sold his birthright because he had a root of bitterness, and he passed it on to his children, to the people around him, and everything. A root of bitterness. Anger, a wrath, criticism. Criticism is unforgiveness, folks. Slander, that's unforgiveness. Railing, that's unforgiveness. All of these things prove there's unforgiveness in there. If you've got unforgiveness in there, you're not going to receive the benefits of God's kingdom, or if somebody with faith gives it to you, you won't be able to keep it. He likes to honor their faith because they're praying for you in faith. He likes to do that, but he also will not permit you to keep a benefit of the kingdom if you've got unforgiveness. So repent. Turn to God. Ask him. Tell him, look, Lord, I know this is in there because I can see it in my actions. I can see it in my thoughts. I know it's in there. Please. Take it from me, Lord. I don't want it. I give this to you. I put it on your altar. I do not want this. I renounce this. I rebuke this. I command you, unforgiveness, to leave my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Make war against it. Make war against it. Hate the sin, right? Who else got something to share?
Well, can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay, good. Yeah, I do, because after I listened to Vicky's testimony the other night, she and I were talking, you know, I sat around, I got to meditating on my life, and I found out that I thought that I had forgiven this one person for some of the things that he had done, and I got to thinking, well, every time his name popped up, I always had something critical to say about him. Wasn't anybody here locally. It's back in Arkansas, but and I found out that I tell him, you know, I forgave him, but, you know, and that but just means everything you just said, forget about it, because here's what I really believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what would happen. And I knew that I hadn't forgotten him. Over in James chapter 3, it says, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. And, you know, I'd sit around and somebody would mention his name from over at the house. And, of course, here I am, you know, got to put in my 2 cents worth. And as I was sitting there thinking on what Vicki had said, that it was from the mind and not the heart, I found out that, you know, that's true. We sit around and we think that, I forgave him, you know, and we've sat down and thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven him, bless him, Lord. And then the next thing you know, you're sitting out there with your tongue, you're cursing him because he or she has done something against you, and you won't let the world know. If you have forgiven someone, then when that name pops up, you won't be thinking those evil thoughts against him, and you surely won't be talking against him. So, yeah, that's really one of the ways that you can tell is if you're murmuring and complaining about those people, that's not a sign of forgiveness. And over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And so that's what I had to do. I had to go ahead and get down on my knees and repent and ask the Father to take that unforgiveness out of me and start blessing that person that had came against me. And, you know, and then you lighten up. And here I am in the joy of the Lord again. And bless God, just like Vicki. And I want to tell you something, Vicki. Your joy has really blessed a lot of folks because they knew. But and I called over there this morning, and Paul said, Vicki's down there. She's singing right now. I said, well, praise God. That's too early in the morning, Vicki, to be singing. But that's the joy of the Lord in her. Anytime, day or night, she's going to be praising God.
Amen.
Because the Lord had delivered her from all of that mess and that junk that she'd been carrying all these many years. Oh, praise God.
Amen.
Wow. You know, Vicki, I could or you could would rather come from you, but you remember before your dad passed away, you went out to California and you were wanting me to go, and I said, I don't think I'm supposed to go, you know, and I said, don't even think about what you're going to say. You may not even say nothing, you know, just be the letter of the Lord. Let the Lord set it up if you're supposed to say anything. Well, she was concerned about her dad, you know, dying in his sins, you know. She confessed and believed for his salvation, and was believing for household salvation. And so she goes out there, and the Lord kind of set it up. And I think right before she left, she got to share some things. And after she came back to Birmingham, was it a week later?
Yeah, I think so. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was about a week later that he called, and he told me that at 1 o'clock in the morning that he had got up and he got on his knees and he started asking for forgiveness, and he said that he knows that the Lord forgave him because he felt the presence of Jesus there in the room with him, and so that just really blessed me, because I did go out to California and I just spent time with my dad. And what I did was basically, I didn't say a whole lot. I just allowed my dad to talk. And I don't know that we had ever done a whole lot of that, where I just was like letting him know it was okay for him to talk. And he talked for hours on end. But I, of course, I did share some things with him. And one of the things that Paul had said to share with him was Psalm 91. I believe Psalm 91, if I'm not mistaken, says something about the dragon. And my dad was just really amazed. He said, I can't imagine that Paul would want me to read that psalm, because that's what he was calling this cancer that he was going through, the dragon. And so that ministered to my dad as well. And while I was out there, just some of the things that I shared with him. But I think that my actions spoke louder than my words to my dad, because I just loved him and I let him just pour his heart out. And so anyway, I knew that when my dad passed away a year later, that he had gone to be with the Lord. And that was a blessing, yes.
But didn't he spend like 6 hours in his bedroom on his knees crying? I mean, we're talking about 6 hours, folks. I mean,
he got up, repented
and forgiven and asking the Lord to forgive him of all the people that he hurt, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
So that's
everything that
he
could
really
think
good.
Of.
Yeah,
praise God. Praise God. Wow. So, and something happened that I never ever dreamed would happen when I went back to California for my dad's funeral, and I spoke at his funeral, and it was something I would have never done without the strength of the Lord, and it really ministered to a lot of people, and I just praise God for that. But I don't know how much time we have left here.
Well, we have about 20 minutes.
Oh, 20 minutes. Okay. I was wondering if I could just go ahead and share just a little bit more about, because when I started all this, I was talking about how this paralleled with the book Hinds Feet on High Places, and I really identified with the main character named Much Afraid, because I spent most of my life being much afraid. And when she started this journey to the high places to receive her hinds feet, the shepherd gave her two companions to go with her, and their names were Sorrow and Suffering. And I was thinking about all this, and I'm like, yeah, I've spent a lot of years with those two companions in my life, suffering and sorrow from so many things that had transpired over my lifetime. But as I traveled on this journey that God had me on to come to this place where I was liberated from and set free, and understanding and realizing that God had taken, or Jesus had taken all my bruises, I went through all of this journey these last 5 months, and I had gotten to the high places. And when you get to the high places, in the book, the suffering and sorrow needed Much Afraid to go as well to the high places. And they all received new names, and suffering and sorrow became peace and joy, and Much Afraid became grace and glory. And I was just thinking about earlier when I had said that I heard that run, Vicky, run. And what I realized is receiving my hinds feet, I've been running with peace and joy, and I haven't stopped since the second that it happened. And just filled with knowing God's grace and just the glory of God and just how awesome it all is. And no longer being much afraid. I was even afraid to share the word of God, and there's no fear anymore. And that unforgiveness, as Brother David was talking about, it manifests in all kinds of ways. And I am just so thankful. I cannot tell you how thankful I am to the Father, because he's so gracious and so loving, and he's so sovereign. So we know that he was in it all. And I just praise God, and I give him all the glory and the honor and the praise. And he has liberated this bruised person and set her free. And I just praise God for that. And now I can run with peace and joy. And I can share it. I can share it openly and without any fear of what someone might think or what they might say. Because most of the time, the things that we're thinking people are going to say or not going to say or going to think or not going to think, we're just assuming things that don't even happen. So it was just a lot of time wasted. But I'm just thankful now to be healed and running with peace and joy, and just filled with the love of God to go on this journey that he has me on in freedom, and into what is ahead for all of us, and knowing that whatever is set before me, I'm going to be able to endure, because this was an endurance trial, as Paul was speaking about earlier. And it is my desire to endure to the end, because I have my eyes fixed on the goal, the prize, and I want to continue stretching forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I just want to fill my heart to overflowing with Christ Jesus. And with Him, we can move on forward in anything. He is our strength.
Amen.
It's Christ Jesus in us, the hope of glory. And I just praise God for that. And thank you.
You know, Vicki, some of this could have been also a generational curse that was passed on down too. Because I remember when we first started praying, you mentioned to me one of your fears, which was that you had two relatives that ended up with pain like that, and it was a tumor behind the eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of your fears, you know. And, of course, it could have been, but it makes absolutely no difference now. Whatever it was, it makes absolutely no difference, because now you've received the benefit of your faith and your repentance. And so it could have been something that was passed on down, that the devil had plans to take you out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he just couldn't do it. Anything you want to say about that?
Well, that's right, because it wasn't, I never knew about this until just a couple of months before we moved here to Tennessee, and I was talking to my aunt on the phone, and she was telling me about, she didn't know that I was having headaches or anything. I didn't, you know, mention anything, because I'd begin having a few little small headaches before we moved up here. But she was telling me about my aunt, who was her sister, had a tumor behind her right eye, and she was in UCLA Medical Center, and they were wanting to remove her eye. And my aunt that I was speaking to told me that, she said, well, because see, my aunt that had this tumor, she was a very strong Christian. She lived a Christian life as long as I knew her. And she said, what about healing? And so my aunt that had this tumor, it's like a light bulb went off in her head, and she started praying for healing. Well, she was healed of the tumor, but her grandson, who I just found out about recently, had the same thing come on him, and he had to have an eye removed. So yes, I believe that this was a generational thing going on. And another thing that I can say is that with my mom, had so much stuff going on in her life as well, that I did inherit some unforgiveness and a critical spirit from her, and also a spirit of negativism and just being so negative all the time. I started kind of living in that for a long time. So, yeah, a lot of this is generational things. I believe that.
So, folks, the Lord delivers from that too.
Yes,
I'll tell you something
does.
Else. When you come to Jesus, don't buy this garbage, this false gospel that's out there of just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. It's not in the Scriptures. What's in the Scriptures is repent and believe. Now, that's not just a one-time step over the line type thing. It's constant that you repent when you find out you're contrary to God in anything, like Vicki just did, you know, and believe the gospel that the Lord Jesus took this away from you. Repent and believe. This is the gospel you must believe. It's the gospel you must preach. It's the one they preached in the Scriptures. This accept things, that's just, in other words, take all your old sins that you got and just accept this gift of God, you know. Well, folks, repent is what you got to do to be able to accept this gift of God. Repent. Repent and believe. Why do you read the Scriptures? Because the Scriptures are given to you in order to renew your mind. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is renewing your mind? It's repenting. Metanoeo, change your mind. You read as a script as a Christian, you must read the scriptures in order to renew your mind or change your mind or repent. And when you repent, you're entitled to believe. You see, if you won't repent, you can't believe. You have to repent so you can believe. See, you won't have any boldness towards God, the scripture says, if you don't repent. You see, so you repent. You see something in the scriptures, and you want this in your heart. You do not want what you have known in your heart. And you repent. You change your mind. You say, Lord, I want that. And I'll take this, and I'll take this, and I'll take this, Lord. And it's all been given. It's all been given to you. That's what the reconciliation is all about. That's a part of salvation. There's nothing, no promise in here that's not been given to you through the reconciliation. Some people say, oh, that's not a part of salvation. No, they're wrong. They're just wrong. They don't know what the scripture says. Now, the Lord saved you from everything, every kind of curse you can imagine. He bore the curse for you, all of it. Read Deuteronomy 28. There's a real good list of the curse there, and it's not all there even. But he said, if it's not here, God will put that on you too if you don't repent. So it's all there, in other words, right? So repent and believe. When you read the scriptures, change your mind. It doesn't matter what, if your whole church believes contrary to what you read there, change your mind. You're not going any further until you do. It's a process of changing your mind before the Lord comes for you, right? He wants to come for you, but he first wants to come in you. And if you don't change your mind, he can't come in you. It's a matter of bearing fruit, Jesus said, 30, 60, and 100-fold, right? That's the people that are going to enter the kingdom. Wouldn't you like to use all of your time that you have left stretching and striving for what? The 100-fold, for goodness sake. Yes, of course. Because we don't have to live under the curse anymore. Jesus already bore the curse upon himself. But that's not effectual for you unless you repent and believe. No matter what Jesus went through, it's just words on a page if you don't repent and believe. Because it's never applied to your life. If you're living under any kind of a curse, just remember Jesus became accursed for you. So you could have Abraham's blessings, and the Bible says in Genesis that he was blessed in all things. Okay, do you want the blessings, or do you still want to live under the curse? No matter what the curse is, whatever it is that God tells you to repent of it, turn to him by faith, and accept the reconciliation, the very opposite of the curse, the blessing, the provision, whatever it is, believe it from the Lord. He'll give it to you. Anybody else have something to share?
Well, one thing I'd like to share is input too is when you were sharing that, David, it was really just the Lord just kind of put my eyes on Isaiah 42:3. It says, "A bruised reed will he not break, and a dimly burning wick will he not quench. He will bring forth justice and truth." But then Matthew 12:20, obviously Jesus is quoting that, but he's says it just a little different way. He says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax will he not quench, till he send forth judgment." And that's what happened until victory. So, you know, Vicky's name is victorious, you know, and so praise God, she got the victory.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Wow. Praise God.
Let's. Could we pray for the folks out there for a few minutes here? Let's pray and exercise our faith for anyone that's joining us right now that needs deliverance from one of these things that's bringing a curse upon them. Let's just pray. I mean, I'll pray, and you, any of you want to pray too, you can jump in there. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we know the victory you've given us in Jesus Christ, Lord. We know the brethren that are joining us today. We know some of them are realizing even now that they have been holding on to some things that have been keeping them under the curse. Lord, we ask you to convict them strongly so that they know and are assured that this is wrong, that this is evil. Let them feel about it the same way you feel about it. In other words, let them repent. Let them believe that what was given to them in the scriptures by Jesus Christ on the cross is their gift. They can, in other words, they can believe the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. So, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to convict them to repent, to be grieved over this sin, to renounce this sin, and believe the good news that Jesus bore this sin upon the cross, and they are now free in the name of Jesus Christ. And not only that, because of that, now they are free from the penalty of the sin too, which many religions do not teach out there. They don't have to live under the curse of sin and of death. They don't have to live under that curse of death any longer. Their body can live. They can serve God. They can serve God joyously. They can live in peace and joy and harmony with other people. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to convict souls of this right now, Lord, to grant repentance. It's your gift to give, Lord. Grant repentance to these folks so that they can believe the gospel and receive your very best, Lord. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. And we come against roots of bitterness. In the name of Jesus, you loose that soul. In Jesus' name. We rebuke criticism. Some people call it discernment, you know, but they're just criticizers, that's all. They're proud and they're puffed up and they think that they'll look better if they criticize somebody else. No, that's criticism and pride. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. You loose that person in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to grant full repentance to these souls, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that this bitterness and unforgiveness and criticism and anger and frustration and rejection and all of these things that torment souls out there who want to be free, Lord, we rebuke them in Jesus' name. We command you to loose them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we send forth your healing power to these folks, Lord. Your nature, your character, your authority, we send it forth, Lord. They have been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, which is your nature, character, and authority. And Lord, they are free in Jesus' name. We pronounce them free in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for giving them grace to repent and to believe the gospel and to be free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody else? You want to pray, please do.
Why don't you go ahead, Vicki?
Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I just come before you. Father, I pray that if there's anyone out there that this is touched in their feeling that they need to pray for unforgiveness, I just ask that you would give them the strength to do that, Lord, and that they would humble themselves before you in such a way like they have never done before. Because I can say that the freedom that comes will be worth the humbling. So I just ask, Father, that you would, that they would take away any flesh that's in the way, Father God, and just come before you completely, humbly, and searching their hearts and crying out for this unforgiveness that I know from this trial that I've been through can happen and it can set you free. And I pray, Father, for that to happen, that, that all of these that have been bruised will be set to liberty through their humbling and asking for forgiveness and all and this forgiveness coming from the heart, and that they would identify the difference between praying from the heart, asking forgiveness from the heart, as opposed to from the head. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, you know, brethren, we have a series on the site. It seems to have helped a lot of people. And it's called The Curse of Unforgiveness. And it's a 7 one-hour programs, videos or audios. It's on the one-hour programs. You can go to the one-hour audios and videos and scroll down to it, The Curse of Unforgiveness. And it seems to have helped an awful lot of people. It ends up with talking about rejection. A lot of people have a problem with rejection. We have an article on our site, too. This is an article, though. It's called Deliverance from Rejection and Its Curse. It's helped a lot of people. Deliverance from Rejection and Its Curse. It's helped a lot of people. You can go there to those and receive them, and you can actually order the audios on a CD, MP3, and get them. And but study this. Give thought to this. I talked to a brother recently who was very joyously delivered of rejection. He had listened to those things 5 times. I can't imagine listening to him 5 times, but he did, and he said he just kept on getting things out of him, and he came to him and he said that he'd gotten deliverance from that. He was very joyous about it, and I praise God with him. Giving thought to the things that hold you under the curse. Making sure it's worth it, folks. Making sure that none of these things are keeping you in bondage, is very important. Don't struggle all of your life. The Lord does not expect you to live all of your life under a curse of any kind. Jesus became cursed so that you could be free. Don't waste his sacrifice. The Lord does not want you to waste his sacrifice. Please be free in Jesus' name.